Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jeff White with Jeff White Fitness Solutions. I'm a certified personal trainer and motivational speaker. I'd like to welcome you to my Blog Talk Radio show, Making a Difference. Now, the purpose of this show is to highlight individuals who encourage us to be the best we can be, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. I believe in order to survive in this world, it's important to be mentally strong, and I believe being spiritually, mentally, and physically tough go hand in hand. And now today, in this day and age, it's more important than ever to be strong mentally. There are so many things out there that can bring us down if we let it. And the topic tonight is dealing with illness. Has anyone out there been diagnosed with a serious illness or disease? I know personally that one of the worst things that can happen is to be blindsided with the news that they have a major illness. It can cause a plethora of feelings, such as depression, sense of hopelessness, anger, and many people will say, why me? And that's all normal. In life, we all go through some type of adversity that will either make us or break us. We all get knocked down sometimes, but we must get back up. And that includes dealing with a major illness, which brings me to our special guest tonight. Tonight, our guest is Norman Ross. And Norm is the epitome of getting back up when getting knocked down. I believe truly in my heart that his story is a great example and a source of inspiration for all of us. Let me tell you how I met Norm. I met Norm years ago along with our other brothers, the Federation, at Illinois State University in Normal, Illinois. And while we were down at Illinois State, Norm was suddenly and unexpectedly diagnosed with a kidney disease. Now, dealing with such a major illness can be a challenge. And if you've ever been diagnosed with a major illness, you know exactly how devastating it can be. But imagine being in Norm's place and this happened when you're in college having the time of your life. And, yes, we did party too. Now, many people will feel alone when going through something like this, but it's important to remember that you're not alone. There are people who have been through what you're going through, and they can relate. And so it's very unfortunate that people have to go through it, of course, but there are many people who can relate because they've been through it too. Norm is our special guest tonight because he understands what people are going through and all the emotions that go with it. He's experienced all the ups and downs and has written a fantastic book to help those who need it the most. And his book is perfectly titled, So You're on Dialysis, You're Not Alone. Norm has dedicated his life to helping others come to grips with having kidney disease by having a network patient advocate for dialysis patients at his dialysis unit, as well as an advocate for the visually impaired. Now, people who know Norm personally know he's been through a lot, but at the same time, that does not stop him. He is still the crazy dude from college and has an unlimited amount of jokes. I'm sure we'll hear some tonight because, personally, I think he should have been a stand-up comic. So, ladies and gentlemen around the world, I introduce to you the author and one of my best friends, Norm Ross. Norm, welcome to the show, brother.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for that introduction. I hope at some point in my life I can live up to it. That was a whole lot, but I appreciate it. And, yes, you are one of my dearest friends. And if I recall correctly, I remember when I first found out about my kidney disease, I remember you telling me a story about you having an issue some years ago with the kidneys. We used to talk about it, and that was one of the first things actually that came to my mind when all that stuff started to happen to me. So, yeah, you just brought back a flood of memories for me.
Yeah, man, that's right. And you know what? I remember laying in the hospital mad and crying at the same time, thinking, why did this happen to me? And I did nothing to cause this. And I remember my mother thinking that I had did something. I mean, I'm in college, you know, by myself, just having a good time, and she just knew that I did something to cause it, but I didn't. It just came out of nowhere. It was
right.
So frustrating, you know, and I felt alone But I can honestly tell you this, though, Norm, if I would have had your book, I would have read it cover to cover that night, because I know the feelings I had, I needed someone who could understand and relate to what I'm going through. And I know that's a lot of people who have some type of illness, you know, they go through that emotion. They want someone to talk to.
Well, you know, that unfortunately, that book, you know, has been, I don't know, 22 years in the making. I've been a dialysis patient off and on for over 20 years, about 22 years, actually. And I say off and on because I began dialysis, as you said, I was diagnosed while in college, while in my third year, toward the end of my third year of college at Illinois State. I was diagnosed with kidney disease called focal and segmental sclerosis. And what that is a fancy term for scarring. Sclerosis means scarring in medical jargon, scarring of the kidney tissue. Now, I know it doesn't sound like much, but when your organs, your internal organs are scarred in such a way, it's very, very serious. So my kidneys, I contracted this disease, or I had this disease, rather, and my kidneys were so scarred and so diseased that they said that, you know, they couldn't pinpoint exactly when the kidney was shut down. But just like when you have people with cancer and they give you, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 months to live, they were in that sort of mindset. It's just, listen, this thing can happen within a year. It can happen within 6 months. It can happen within 3 months. It all depends on, you know, you and how you take care of yourself and what we do to control things like your blood pressure and your cholesterol. So I was immediately placed on blood pressure medication, although I didn't have high blood pressure prior to that. My organ failure caused high blood pressure. But high blood pressure, just for your listeners, is one of the things, one of the leading things that causes kidney failure, uncontrolled high blood pressure or hypertension. But I was put on those meds to control it, and I kind of staved off the kidney failure for a handful of months. But ultimately, the disease took my kidney function.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, that's heavy. I mean, that's a whole lot for a person to deal with. So tell me, what was your frame of mind when you were going through this? I mean, this is important for people to understand that they're not alone when they deal with something like this.
Well, I'll be honest. Kind of like you were, although my mom didn't think it was something I did. I mean, yeah, I was a typical red-blooded American college student doing everything red-blooded American college students do. You know, I drank my beer and I partied and I did those things. And it came about in a real funny sort of way. My mom was a nurse in her work life, and she was always a stickler for me getting a checkup, even when there was nothing wrong. She would say, go get a checkup, you know, just go checkup. So she called, says, babe, you know, actually, I hadn't, it was time to go back for school for the fall semester. She says, you know what, you haven't been to the doctor. You need to go back to get your checkup, you know, make sure everything is working okay. So just to appease her, I did. And I went on ahead to school. It was then, you know, over a little time, I got the call back, and they says, hey, your test came back abnormal. What do you mean? Well, you know, you did some urine tests and some blood work and stuff, and your urine test came back abnormal. We want you to come back. So that first call to tell me that my urine test was abnormal was like the worst thing in the world, because you have to keep in mind that I'm a college student on a college campus, away from home, living in an apartment with some of my best friends, being a red-blooded American man doing what red-blooded American men do. And at the very same time, I think Magic Johnson was making his announcement, had made his announcement about contracting HIV. So when I got the call, before they said anything about, you know, anything, they said that the tests were abnormal. So the first thing that ran through my mind was, oh, God, I got it. I got it. Somebody gave it to me. And, you know, I drove myself crazy because I didn't have all the right information. I fed into a lot of the media hype surrounding, you know, HIV, which all the wrong information. You can contract it from kissing and touching. All I fed into all that stuff. It wasn't until, you know, I actually called the nurse back, spoke with her, and got the information about what was going on with the lab results, that I had to come back and do another result, another test. which they took some more blood, did another urine test, and they confirmed that there definitely was something going on with the test, and they pinpointed there was something with the kidneys, but they couldn't tell me what it was. All they can say is there was something going on with the kidneys, and they need to do more tests, more definitive tests, to be able to let me know what was going on. So that's when, you know, things got really, really sketchy, because before then I had never had any symptoms. Let me clarify. Never had any symptoms that I noticed.
Right.
The things that we talked about that I realized were symptoms were foamy urine. My urine was very foamy. I mean, like someone put some dish detergent in the toilet every time I went to go urinate, it was like foamy. And I thought, you know, as a 20-year-old, that it was because I was a beer-drinking college student, that's the reason that my, you know, urine was foamy. But it was because protein was leaking into the urine because the kidneys had begun to fail. I didn't know that, okay? So that was one thing that I found out after the fact. There was a symptom that I didn't know to look for. But aside from that, I did not have any other symptoms. I didn't have any swelling of the lower extremities, any puffiness or anything like that. That was mainly it. So we did more testing, and my primary care physician could only tell me that, you know, it's something wrong with the kidneys. We just can't figure it out. So finally they determined that I had to have a biopsy in order to figure out exactly what was wrong. A biopsy is when it's a minor surgical procedure where they go into your whatever area needs the biopsy. In this case, it was my kidney. So they went into my back, just below my rib cage, near my spine, with the longest needle you probably have ever seen, longer than an epidural needle, and took out some pieces of my kidney tissue to test them to see, you know, what was going on. That's when they were able to determine what the disease was. And, again, it was called focal and segmental sclerosis, which, again, is scarring of the kidney tissue. And they determined that at some point, if I did not get a kidney transplant, I would have to begin dialysis until a viable kidney became available.
And so you were just in the waiting game. You're just waiting at this point.
It's any dialysis patient or anybody with end-stage renal disease, which is what kidney failure is called, or CKD, chronic kidney disease, which is what I have, will tell you that from the time you are diagnosed with either of those things, it's about waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You wait on in every aspect of this thing. You know, you wait for a diagnosis. You wait to have family members tested to see if someone can donate you a kidney. In my case, my nephrologist, which is a kidney specialist, thought that it might be best that before my kidneys actually failed and I needed dialysis, let's get all your family and friends who want to be tested. So if there's a match, we can go ahead and do a transplant. That way there's no need for dialysis, which was a great idea, in my opinion. Unfortunately, I'm a freak of nature in my family. Nobody matched. Believe it or not, most of my family members have B blood types. Guess what mine is? A positive.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating, and that was when I went through the pity party and the woe is me and why me. I didn't do anything to deserve this. And I remember my mom kind of being of the same mind. And it was my grandmother kind of brought things back into perspective for both of us, and she would always tell us, don't question God. Whatever this is that Norman has to deal with, you know, God has this thing under control. God is allowing this thing to happen for a reason. Maybe he'll reveal the reason now. Maybe he'll reveal the reason later. But he's going to give Norman everything he needs to get through this. Now, I didn't understand that then. I didn't care to hear about it then. Excuse my French, I didn't give a damn about it then. I just didn't want to deal with kidney failure. I wanted to be regular. I was, you know, 24 years old. My life was just getting started. I went to college to begin to lay the foundation for the rest of my life. And mm-hmm. one minute I'm in college and I'm hanging out with you guys and I'm having the time of my life and I'm going to do all these amazing things. And the next minute I'm having a dialysis catheter placed in my chest and my life has changed drastically. So it was a lot. And there was, you know, no one pointed me to a psychologist. No one asked me how I felt emotionally. No one asked me how I felt mentally. There was no time to prepare for that. It was, this is what's going on. This is what you have to do. And I did it. My family and I reacted to the information and the circumstances we were given. Mm-hmm. But I thank God for the support system that I had at that time and the support system that I have now. Nobody let me have a pity party. They never let me stay there too long. You know, they said, okay, you're allowed to, you know, a little pissed, a little upset about your circumstances. It's normal, you know, it's only human, but you're not allowed to stay there. We're going to get through this thing, and we're going to, you know, we're going to work it out. And I, with my mom, my sister, Samira, and everybody at that time kind of helped me and lifted me up and kept me motivated to get through it. So dialysis the first time around lasted 4 years, 4.5 years actually. I began mm-hmm. dialysis treatments November of 1994, actually like the day before Thanksgiving, 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I describe it in the book, to the best of my knowledge, as one of the most pivotal, challenging moments in my life, and it was a huge turning point in my life. And although, looking back in retrospect, and just overall over the course of time, I'm better for it. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Dialysis is an awful thing. It's a nasty thing. My nephrologist, several nephrologists that I've spoken to, always say to me that they would much rather something be wrong with their heart than something be wrong with the kidneys, because the kidneys affect everything you have going on, every other aspect. Kidneys are responsible for so many things that people aren't even aware of. They're very important organs.
Very.
And you know what? What I like about you is you said that you had a pity party for a little while, but you got over it, thanks to the help of, you know, family and friends. This is very important. There are a lot of people out there who are having a pity party right now, and they feel lost. And this is where I'm so proud of you, that you turn this into a way to inspire people, because you wrote this book, which, you know, by the way, is fantastic. So can you please just talk about this book and how it can help so many people?
Oh, wow. The book comes from so many things, but writing it was very cathartic for me, very, very, very helpful for me. I learned to read and write when I was 3. My aunt, who's a special education teacher, just had a gift of teaching, and she taught me how to read and write early. And I remember whenever we would be reading things, when I would come to a word that I didn't understand, I would always say, help me with the hard part. And she would always help me with that word. And writing this book allowed me to find my purpose in life. And it's an amazing thing when you find out why you're here, why you were born, why God allowed you to be here. And that reason is for me to help people with the hard part, because life does get hard. Life does get tough. Life can bog you down. Life can discourage you. I'm here as an example to people that I've been through a whole lot, and if I can do it, anybody can do it. So if there's anything that I can say to you to help you through the hard part, if there's anything that I can show you to help you through the hard part, I'm going to do it. And that's what this book is about. It's about getting through the hard part. It's my story told from the perspective of a dialysis patient, from beginning to end, from diagnosis to transplant, back to being on dialysis again. And it's funny, because when I wrote the book and finished the manuscript, I stopped it in my transplant. I wanted to make it a happily ever after type of story. And I let one of my editors read it, and she thought it was amazing, but she says, why did you stop at the transplant? You're back on dialysis now. I was like, well, I don't want people to feel like, you know, I didn't win in the end. She's like, but you are winning, and they need to see this part of it. So that inspired me to, you know, finish the book and let people know, and that's where the title comes from, you know, you're not alone. I beat it once, and I beat it again. So the book comes from that place. It comes from a place of inspiration. It comes from a place of education. It comes from a place of motivation. I want people to know that it's not a death sentence when you are diagnosed with a chronic disease or illness, whether it be cancer, whether it be kidney failure, whatever it may be, lupus, diabetes, it's not a death sentence. There are things you can do, and it all starts mentally and emotionally. People put so much emphasis on the physical aspect of you know, being diagnosed with something, which I would never minimize the physical aspect of dialysis or anything. There is a physical aspect to it. There's pain involved. There's some discomfort. There's a lot of inconvenience involved. But if you are not mentally strong and emotionally strong, it's going to be the toughest battle of your life. And the book comes from that. This book came to me because I have in 2013, I was advanced stage glaucoma and a condition called NAION, non-arteritic ischemic optic neuropathy. Took the vision in my right eye, and then it damaged the left eye to where I don't have any vision in my right eye at all. And in my left eye, I have probably 35%. There's no peripheral vision at all. And everything is kind of blurry for the most part, and a little dark. I was in that place when this book came about. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life next. One minute I was living my life, having a good time, you know, going to dialysis, going to work. You know, I got a lady who's crazy about me. I'm crazy about her. Life is good, living the dream. And then this happened. And I was stuck, not knowing what I was going to do. And a dear friend of mine, my brother, from high school, Pastor Purvis Brown from Atlanta, called me and spoke life into me, as well as my soon-to-be sister-in-law, Vaya Nathaniel. They spoke life into me and told me to do what God placed in me to do, which I didn't know what it was. And Purvis says, you got to write. I was like, write? I can't see. He's like, no, you can write. And he told me the story about him using a paper, a composition that I gave him years ago, and how he used it, and how it was an A paper, and how it was an amazing paper. And I never knew that. And so the book came from there. I began writing at that point. And I remember throughout the whole writing process started, because, you know, self-doubt creeps in, and you start to say to yourself, no one's going to buy anything that you write. You're not that good of a writer. And anytime I would get in that mindset, I would stop.
And let me stop you right there, Norm. Norm, let me stop you right there, right there. When you're sick and people say it's going to be all right and they haven't been through what you've been through, I'm sorry. I am not trying to hear anything you have to say. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know what my mind is thinking. So for you to come in and say everything's going to be all right, I mean, I know you mean well, and I don't mean any disrespect to anyone who says that, because they are sincerely trying to help. But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know the doubts that I'm having right now. This is why your book is so important, because you have been there. You have felt exactly what they feel, and you put it on paper in such a way that they can be like, oh, my God, I could have wrote this myself. This is me. So, yes, people will read this book. I mean, this is so important, because if you can't relate, I can't really take what you're saying, you know, to heart. But if I can talk to someone who's been exactly where I am and they have gone through it and they still here to talk about it, Oh yeah, I want to hear what you have to say. So yes,
absolutely.
Yes, people will want to read your book. I'm sorry, go ahead. I just had to throw that in there.
No. You're absolutely right. And but that self doubt crept in, and every time I found that every time I let that happen, I started to feel depressed again. And but God would always give me something or give me a confirmation, and the confirmation was that I would get a phone call. One phone call was from a classmate, and she called and she says, "Norm, I know you can be a private person at times, but I also know that you are very open about your dialysis situation, and I need your help." And I says, "Okay, well, what's going on?" She's like, "My mom has been diagnosed with kidney failure." I was like, "Okay, you know, what's going on?" She was like, "That's it. They diagnosed her. They haven't given us any direction or anything." I was like, "How long ago was this?" She was like, "Oh, about a month ago." I was like, "And no, she hasn't seen a nephrologist or anybody." She's like, "They diagnosed her, and that's it." I was like, "No, something's wrong." So I walked this girl and her mom through the whole process. They hadn't got her a nephrologist, anything. Her mom was actually in a bad situation when I got to her. By the time I got to her, and she really was in dire need of some medical attention. So I started back writing after that, because all the questions she asked me, her and her mom asked, were things that I had already written in my book. I'm like, okay, so this book is needed. So I began writing again. And then after a little while, self-doubt crept in again. "Nah, dude, no one's going to buy this book. You know, go do something else with your time. You know, spend some time with your lady. Do something else, right?" And get a call from my cousin. This is my cousin, who's the same age as me, lives in Houston, Texas, has a family, does really well for himself. He calls, and he starts asking me questions about dialysis and what I deal with. So I know instinctively that whenever someone asks me anything about dialysis, either they're going through something or someone they know. So because I talk to him on a regular and he hasn't said anything, I'm not thinking it's him. I'm thinking it's one of his kids who happened to be my godchild. So I didn't ask him, but I'm saying, okay, one of the kids must be sick. So I'm answering all the questions. And, you know, we get off the phone. Well, 2.5 months later, he calls me back. "Doc, I'm on dialysis." And everything he asked me during the conversation were things that I already put in the book. So that was my final confirmation, was to continue writing the book. I was like, "This book is needed. I hear you loud and clear, God. I'm going to keep writing this book."
See, the thing about that, though, I mean, cut you off, but the thing about it is, there are a lot of people whose voices are not heard. I mean, thanks to the media, we only hear a certain type of people or a certain segment of society, but there's a whole lot of people out there around the world who can relate to what you're doing and what you're going through. I mean, kidney disease doesn't discriminate. No matter how old you
Absolutely.
Are, how young you are, how much money you have. It doesn't matter if you're in England. It doesn't matter if you're in China. It doesn't matter if you're in South Africa. Kidney disease is kidney disease. And on top of that, the emotions that you feel when being diagnosed are all the same. So personally, I think that your book is a great gift for someone who's in like the medical field. If you're a doctor, if you're a healthcare practitioner, you work in a nursing home, you know, if you're a nurse, you know, I think they could pick up the copy of this book and just give it to one of their patients. And it would just help them so much, because people feel so alone and afraid that they don't know where to turn. And I think your book can just really help people. And I think that you just did a fantastic job just putting your words out there.
You know? I appreciate it.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, the fact of the matter is that you could have stayed down and out, but you turned this into another way to help and inspire people across the world. So I totally commend you, Norm. I commend
you
for that. How can What's the name of the book again, and how can they get the book?
The book is by me, Norman L. Ross. It's called So You're on Dialysis, You're Not Alone. It's available at Amazon.com. It's also available for download on Kindle, and you can get it on createspace.com. My website, normanlross.com, will be up and running shortly. You can hit me at my Facebook page, Norman L. Ross, Facebook, and just be looking out for me. Pick up the book. I have another project that's in the works. It's another inspirational work about overcoming adversity. And I'm out here on the circuit talking to people, inspiring people each and every day.
Awesome, Norm. Hey, man, I want to thank you for coming. Our time is up, but
thank you.
I think
you for having
talk
me
for another hour. But yeah, man.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Norm.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks to the listeners. I appreciate you, man, so much.
Oh yeah, you've been heard all over the world, sir.
Well, thank you to all the listeners, man. Thank you, Jeff White. Keep doing what you're doing, brother.
Always, you too, man. Stay keep us in touch.
All right. Dog
okay,
team.
Norm. All salute.
Right. Salute.
All right, partner. Norm, you there?